But God gathered in a lot of individuals since God created man and Adam out of dust. They have made contributions to the betterment of mankind. I guess in almost every field you can think of. In my hand, I have one of those benefits. It's not the Home Depot bag, no. It's inside there. I have one of those benefits in my hand that I would just be willing to bet, and I'm not a bloody man, or anybody a sack of white castles, that everyone in this room has benefited from this contribution that the individual has made, especially in the field of medicine. Now, anybody ever heard the name of Wilhelm Conrad Röntgen? Anybody know who he is? You know. Okay. Well, in 1895, in the lab, he made a discovery called Röntgen rays, but for us lay people, it's called an X-ray. So, what a contribution that Mr. Röntgen has made. Now, in your sanctified imagination, pretend like I'm a radiologist, and I'm holding this up. I got it upside down. That's a bad start. Or no, okay. I'm a radiologist, and I'm looking at this X-ray, and I'm going, Well, Mr. X-Lax here, he obviously got a, he's got a pacemaker. You know, it's very clear. You know what? He even said it was made in China. Maybe like a Walmart. But anyway, this individual has a pacemaker. Seems to be taken pretty fine. Cigarette smoker. Camels. I can just tell. Camels like this is a darker stain. Maybe he had white castles for lunch. Wow. This got in. Subject to pollution. Subject to chemicals. Wow. You know, I can see everything on the inside. You know, when we're not feeling well, we go to the doctor, we give him all our symptoms the best we can, and he goes, you know, all this, and he says, well, let's take a look on the inside. Let's take a few x-rays, you know? We fall like a lion has fallen, Miriam has fallen. We go to the doctor and he says, what's the first thing to do? Well, let's take a few x-rays. Well, you know, these kind of x-rays are almost, what, obsolete because now everything's in color. We got, what, magnetic imaging, whatever it's called, the torpedo tube. We got CAT scans. You name it, but now they're in color. I had a CAT scan once, and after it was all done, and the doctor said I couldn't find anything. I said, well, I could have told you that. But there was nothing wrong with me. But anyway, we got these x-rays in color. Well, today I'm going to use that as a prop because I want to suggest and I want to impress upon you that as wonderful as x-rays is, and you know we get a deeper look into our lives and that, there is someone who sits above, who reigns above, called God, who sees everything. He hears everything, and he knows everything. And we're going to talk about God's omniscience. That's a big subject, and that's what we're going to talk about. And it's exciting. God's omniscience, and I will give a simple definition of that. Okay, the title of my message today is Our Lives Are Not Hid From You. Our lives are not hid from you. Sometimes in our pity parties, we think that God is not aware of what's going on in our lives. Our lives is not hid from you. That's the title of the message. And my opening text is Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. This verse in itself gives us three reminders of God's omniscience affecting your life and my life and everyone in this world, gives us three reminders of God's omniscience affecting every believer for both comfort but also concern. Well, what are these three reminders? Number one, in Exodus 3:7, This verse reminds us that the Lord omniscient sees everything. It also reminds us he hears everything. And it also reminds us he knows everything. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, and read this verse together. Now, prior to this verse, Moses had the privilege, God was speaking to him through the burning bush. I mean, you know, the bush was, you know, was on fire, but it was never consumed. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, and I mean, what a meeting with God that was. But in verse 7, he went on to say a few things, Moses. But in verse 7, Israel was in tremendous bondage in Egypt. In verse 7, let's pay attention very closely what the Lord said to Moses concerning Israel. And the Lord said, I have surely what? Seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. That's number one. And have what? Heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters. That's number two. For I know their sorrow. Three reminders of God's omniscience. Now, I tried to find a very simple definition. What are we talking about? Well, omniscience is definitely an attribute of God, your creator, my creator, our sustainer, and all those good things relating to him. It's one of his attributes, and I found this definition. Omniscience. It simply means all knowledge or all knowing. The divine attribute of perfect knowledge. God knows to an infinite degree all that is actual and all that is possible. He knows everything bar nothing. He knows everything about you, about me, about the world, about the universe, all creatures, visible and invisible. He knows everything. It's a tremendous subject. And it is my hope that as we look at some other verses about your life and my life, it would be a tremendous comfort. But on the other hand, there's dual application here. There are things in your life, in my life, that we still need to what? Sort out in our walk before the Lord. Now, concerning God's omniscience, that nothing escapes his eyes, his ears, his knowledge, this should be a tremendous alarm to the person, anybody in this world who is without Christ. That should be a tremendous alarm to them. But for you and me, it should be a tremendous vote of confidence that the Lord knows everything about you and me. That should be a tremendous vote of confidence. Okay? Okay. Well, I broke this down into three things. The Lord omniscient, number one, he sees everything. That's in the first part of the verse. Now, even though the verse is related to Israel, I want us to think of it in personal application, your life and my life, and that's where I'm going with this. The Lord omniscient sees everything. In the verse, we're reminded that God says, I see the affliction of my people. Well, guess what? No thanks to Adam and Eve, because through Adam and Eve, sin entered the world. You and I, by birth, nature, and practice, we have problems, troubles in our lives, don't we? We have troubles. We have trials. We have tears. We have temptations. We have frustrations. We have physical pain. We have emotional pain. We have spiritual pain. I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, that God, who is on the throne, sees your present affliction if you have some affliction. Whether it be physical, whether it be emotional or spiritual, God sees your affliction and mine if we're going through something right now. Then that should be a tremendous comfort that he sees. You know, I'm not alone in what I'm going through. You're not alone. He sees your affliction. Now, I put it this way. He really sees all things concerning our present life right now. He sees everything. Now, that should be a tremendous comfort to you and me. that God, who is on the throne, sees everything that's going on in my life right now. Hopefully, in your life, in my life, as born-again believers, he's seeing the good things. Besides, I mean, obviously he's seeing the things that are wrong, but he's seeing the good things. But he sees everything concerning our present life. Nothing escapes his eye. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. I love this verse. It's a tremendous verse about what he sees. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, I'm reading from the King James translation. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 reminds us, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch, notice the word order, on the evil and the good. You and I live in an evil world. We live in a fallen world. Violence and hatred, crime is teeming in this world, pain and suffering. We live in an evil world, but it says the eyes of the Lord in every place, keeping watch or beholding the evil and the good. Now, for me, I speak for myself, this verse gives me a tremendous comfort. That God is looking, watching out over everything that happens in this world, concerning all creatures, concerning all circumstances, concerning everything in the universe, he is watching over us. Now, let's be honest here. You and I, at the present moment, are living in relative safety and comfort in this building. I want to remind you that the United States has enemies. World War I, World War II. There are organizations out there that are trying to destroy us. There are groups of men plotting evil against us. We remember 9/11. There are individuals plotting evil, but God sees it all. He sees all those who are plotting evil against not only our country, but he sees those who might even be potentially plotting evil against you and I. The Lord sees everything. Now that gives me a tremendous comfort. I'm not depending on the government to keep me safe forever, as good as our government is. I'm depending on the Lord that he is watching over me. He sees everything. You know, he sees every intent, every motive, every plan, every desire, whether it be evil or good, he sees it all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and good. Now that brings tremendous comfort to me. I hope it does the same for you. On the other hand, in our lives, when we think about our walk before our Lord, he also sees all things concerning our private lives. Dear brother and sister, I challenge you, as I challenge myself, what are we like when we're not together with one another? What am I like at home? What am I like at the workplace? What am I like among my, ungodly friends who are without Christ? What am I like? Well, he also sees all things concerning our private lives. Turn to Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Now, the scripture says man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And when we look at Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, we got a list of 13 things here that the Lord Jesus talked about. God incarnate, he talked about. And he says, for from within, now we're talking about our secret lives, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? 13 things. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness,
All these things come from within and defile the man. Now, the question I would ask, are you and I as saved by the grace of God, are we capable of still doing these same things? Of course. I'm guilty of all of them in my thoughts. You know, the Lord makes no distinction in this passage between sins of thought, deed, and word. He makes no distinction. God says, if I'm capable of thinking these things, then you and I are capable of doing them. So, just want to remind you, we need to be very careful about our thought lives. We do. What will help us concerning our thought lives and what proceeds out of them? Well, we want to fill it with the Word of God. We want the Word of God to speak to us. We want the Word of God to still change us. Didn't it say in Romans chapter 12 that our minds may be renewed? God help us that our minds would be renewed on a daily basis. That our inner man be renewed on a daily basis through what? The pure Word of God. God help us that we would not think it. Now look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16 is obviously about unbelief. The sin of unbelief. But nonetheless, there's something very relevant in here for you and I. I love Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, or, you know, is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him to whom we must have to do or give account. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, as I remind myself, what are we like in our private lives, our home lives, our life at work, our life out in the community? You know, he sees everything. He sees our present lives. To God be the glory. He's in control. But he also sees our private lives. I hope there's some conviction here, as there's conviction in my life. What am I like in my private life? Well, you know what? To God be the glory, his long-suffering in our lives, his help, his grace, his strength, wisdom to live for him. He has given us the word of God. May it continue to change your life and my life, that we would have a walk worthy of the Lord in our what? In our private lives. In our private lives. So here we have both comfort. God sees everything. He knows everything about me. Nothing's hidden from him. Even though I might be going through some pain, some trial, some trouble, he sees. He knows. He sees. But on the other hand, too, we need to be concerned about our private walk with the Lord. Turn in your red hymn book to number 512. I love this hymn. Number 512. Someone has said concerning the sparrow, which is in the Word of God, that is a worthless bird. Someone has said that God attends the funeral of every sparrow that falls to the ground. And he sees when a sparrow falls to the ground. Number 512, his eye is on the sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven's home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, which is classified as a worthless bird. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. There's dual application here concerning what he sees in your life and my life. He sees the bad things, the troubles, the trials, the tears. He sees all of that. But yet he sees our private lives. You know. Well, does the truth that the Lord sees everything concerning you and me cause both comfort and yet concern in our daily living before him? Well, the Lord not only sees everything, but also, number two, the Lord omniscient hears everything. If we go back to Exodus 3:7, God said, I hear the cries of my people. Now, he hears all our audible words. Now, that should be a tremendous comfort to you and I, and I hope we have a prayer life. He hears all our audible words. He hears all our prayers. He hears all our praises. He hears all our giving of thanks. He hears all our feeble words of worship when we try to worship him, whether by ourselves at the Lord's Supper. He hears all those things. And that should be a tremendous comfort. You know, he hears all those things. But what else does he hear in our life? He hears all our audible words. So, when we're not together with, you know, other like-minded brothers and sisters, breaking bread, talking about the Lord, and we're by ourselves, what else does he hear? Turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. What does God hear? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What are our words like when we're not praising God, giving thanks to God, singing to the Lord, praying? By the way, he hears all our prayers. He hears all our supplications. He hears all our intercessions. He hears all those things. But what is our rest of our time like, our free time? In Matthew 12, verse 36, he was actually speaking to the Pharisees, and they were blaspheming the Lord Jesus, and he said to this concerning the Pharisees, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of it thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, the application here is he was speaking to the Pharisees, who despised him, who hated him, and had him crucified. You know, the application is for, you know, here for them. It says, you know, and here's a scary thing. Here's a scary thing concerning people who are without Christ. That from day one in this world to the last day, when they stand before the great white throne, all their words, all their deeds, all their intent, all their motives will be laid bare before the Lord God at the great white throne. All those things, and God keeps a perfect record. And when you look at Revelation chapter 20, he keeps a perfect record of all those things, all those words. And that will be used against them when the Lord says, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. And, you know, he casts them into the lake of fire. Now, that's a scary thing. But what about us as believers and all those, you know, those words that, you know, are just vanity, gossip, or whatever it is? Well, we, thank God, it says, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we're justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus. But on the other hand, we need to be careful of our words, that there's a potential loss of reward. There's a potential loss of reward. We need to be careful in all our audible words. Now, if he hears all our audible words, does he hear all our inaudible words? The cries of the heart. You know, when sometimes we're in such tremendous, the valley of despair or whatever it is, and we don't know what to say to God, when we have those times when we don't know how to pray. I have those times when I don't know how to pray. God hears all those things too. He hears our cries. He hears our, you know, our the weeping and all those kind of things. But here's another thing we need to be aware of in our private lives. Exodus 16, 7 and 9, God says, I hear your murmurings, referring to Israel. Do we murmur? Do we ever murmur in our heart where nobody else can hear it but God hears? Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20, I'm going to paraphrase it because I'm watching the clock. I'm going to paraphrase it. It says, be careful when you're in your bedchamber and you curse the king. Be careful, because God can hear that too. Am I happy with everybody in our government? No, neither are you. There's always somebody we can find to, you know, well, I don't agree with what they're doing, this and that, and we complain. But God says, be careful when you mock government officials, when you mock people in position. When we gossip, God says, be careful. He hears all our audible words. That should be a tremendous comfort. But he also hears those vain words, those inaudible words, and that should be a tremendous concern. According to Newsweek, did you know that the stethoscope is becoming obsolete? Anybody been to a doctor lately and he put the stethoscope to you? They say, well, let's listen to the heart, let's listen to the lungs. Anybody been to a doctor lately? Got a stethoscope? You got one? Well, it's becoming obsolete. I did not know this, but now they got a mini microphone. They got a mini microphone that they can insert through the veins, and it can hear way better than what that stethoscope can hear. A mini microphone. Did I say microscope? Microphone. They can insert it through the veins to now they can hear the heart even with greater detail. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, does the truth that the Lord hears everything concerning you and me cause both comfort but also concern in our daily living before him? What does he hear from us? And not only does the Lord hear everything, or excuse me, see everything and hear everything, but the last one is, the Lord knows everything. The Lord omniscient knows everything. It's said back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, God says, I know their sorrows. Brothers and sisters, if you are going through some present trial, some present trouble, some present tears, whatever it may be, God knows your sorrows. And he alone is the only one who can really minister to us. And he will minister to us. Well, we're reminded he knows our entire life. It says in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 5 through like 9, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows eternity past, he knows the present, he knows eternity future. He knows the end from the beginning. But he knows our entire life. Turn to Psalm 139. A lot of people love this psalm because there's God's omniscience in it, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence. He knows our entire life from the cradle to the grave, unless the Lord comes again, of course, which is the next thing on his calendar. He knows our entire life. He knows our past. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Well, where does it say in here he knows our past? Psalm 139. Look at verse 13. He knows our past. For thou hast, David writes this, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now it's definitely about God's omnipotence too. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did what? Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which are in continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Just think about it. God being a perfect creator, a wonderful artist, a divine craftsman, that you, when you were in your mother's womb, he was doing a work of art, if I can use that expression. He was doing a wonderful work concerning you. I firmly believe that God doesn't make doubles. You are unique. You and I are unique. We are distinct. We are one of a kind. Created in the image of God, created for his glory. You are a tremendous work, and so am I a tremendous work. Now, you may not think that of me, but from my point of view, I'm looking at, in this room, everyone, your tremendous work. You know, God has crafted you, created you in his own image. You know, this should thrill our souls over and over. And I love what the psalmist said, and you can say this for your life. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, about 6 trillion cells, all the organs, everything working in perfect harmony. You know, we breathe, we think, we move. We do, you know, we do tremendous things. We got coordination. We got emotion, will, intellect. God has done a tremendous work concerning you and me. Take that home with you. Remind yourself that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows our past. He knows our present. Look at verse 1, same psalm. He knows our present. We're speaking of the present moment right now. Verse 1, Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast set me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Amen. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. God knows when you got up this morning. He knows what you're going to do this afternoon. He knows what you're going to do tonight. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what thoughts are going to come into your mind before they even happen. He knows everything. Does that give you tremendous comfort? That his eye is what? Not only on the sparrow, but it's on you. He knows everything that's going to take place in our life this day, tomorrow, next day. Until what? The rapture or the resurrection. From the cradle to the grave, God knows every detail of your life before it even happens. That gives me tremendous comfort. He also knows our eternal future. Turn to 1 Peter. He knows our eternal future. A world without end. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I could have read a lot of verses on this one. I had to narrow things down a little bit. These verses we're going to read, I hope they thrill you to no end. If you and I know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, this is going to be our eternal future. If we have put our trust in him and him alone to save us from the penalty and the power of our sins, this is what our future is. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, and it's still going on, has begotten us again unto a living or lively hope. Notice those words, a living hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now you can get excited about these things. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for who? Reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. On the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you and I greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, what you're going through right now, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I love verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of what? Your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Oh, wow. Whom having not seen, we love. Oh, this is so exciting. This is our eternal future. All wrapped up in this. And of course, there's many, many, many more verses of a similar nature. To God be the glory that he has made you and I accepted in his well-beloved by the person, the work, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, his death on the cross, his substitutionary death, his resurrection from the dead. And when we believe in him and trust in him, this is our eternal future. This is wonderful. We should be getting charismatic right now. We should be shouting hallelujah. We should. Rejoice with joy unspeakable. Although it says, even though right now, you might be going through some what? Trials, troubles, and tears. No wonder the hymnist says concerning Lord Jesus, he has done all things well. Concerning you and concerning me, past, present, and future, he has done all things well. And his will be fulfilled. All things work together for good to us who love God. Now I can't remember the rest of the verse. Somebody help me. All things work together for good to us who love God, who are... Okay, I forget it. Thank you. I love that. All things work together for good. Brothers and sisters, I like that verse. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. I see, I hear, and I know everything that's going on in your life. And his will be done. We're going to be in heaven someday. That's an exciting, it could be any minute, we could hear the rapture too. That's an exciting prospect. That's an exciting promise. That's a glorious promise. The father was watching his young son trying to put a very simple puzzle together. It was a gift to the son. The boy was all excited. He gets the puzzle out. Pours all the pieces out. It's not one of those 500 piece puzzles. He pours one of these pieces out and he tries to put it together and he works on it for about 2 or 3 minutes and he starts getting frustrated. And he says, I give up. I can't do it. And he puts all the pieces back in the box and he says, here, Dad, you try it. Well, the dad says, okay, son. So he pours the pieces out and he puts it together in about 2 or 3 minutes to his son's amazement. And he says, son, he says, I saw the big picture. You only saw a little part of it, but I saw the big picture. It was easy for me. Well, it's the same way with our Father in heaven. Concerning your life, our existence, the remaining days and years of our life, God sees a big picture concerning you and me, and his will be done. He will bring us home. We will spend eternity in the glorious presence of his son forever and ever. What a blessed eternity is before us. I hope that thrills us. So again, just reflecting on these things, therefore these three reminders of our Lord's omniscience concerning your life and my life. He knows, he hears, he sees everything. Let us take comfort in God's matchless care for us. And we still need to make those changes in those areas of our life where they're still not pleasing to him. God help us to do that too. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, David said it quite well concerning every one of us in this room, concerning the Lord's omniscience. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Father, we thank you for this tremendous comfort, especially by your Spirit and through the Scriptures, that God is with us every step of the journey in this world. Through all the troubles, trials, and tears, you're with us every step of the way. We praise you that you see, not only see, you hear, and you know all things about us. And we thank you that someday you're going to bring us home. Oh Lord, quickly, come quickly, that we would hear that trumpet. And if it's by death, so be it. We'll be instantly in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for your omniscience. To God be the glory that you are the all-knowing one, the perfect one. And your will and your ways for us are perfect, for which we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.